BMW tailgates me hard, so I trick him into chasing me over a tall bump that sends him flying. Here's what happened. Subscribe to Am I the Jerk on YouTube and hit the bell for notifications. I'm driving to work a few months ago and getting close. I have two turns remaining until I turn into the building. It's just a few blocks away. All side streets, no highways involved. This guy behind me is in a black BMW, and he's on my butt the whole time. I see him checking his phone, then making angry faces at me and getting closer and closer. I speed up a bit, thinking it might calm him down. Five over. Nope. Anyway, I make the first turn, and am now on the street where my building is, maybe 600 yards up ahead. The jerk is still behind me, driving inches from the back of my car and obviously ticked that I'm still going the speed limit, maybe 35 on this street. So I speed up a bit and see he does the same. I drive an 8-year-old Toyota truck, not one of the big huge ones, but not one of the small ones. I do have all-terrain tires, and I've certainly driven through pastures, over rocks, popped a curb or 10 in my time. My suspension is in good shape, and I have no problem treating my decade-old truck like a truck. Well, as I get closer to my building, there's a large speed bump in the street, effectively to get people to slow down as they approach the parking garage entrances. I look back and see Jerk is still riding my bumper. I remember thinking to myself, I need to slow down for this speed bump, and looking back and thinking, if I hit my brakes, this guy's gonna hit me. The plan takes shape in my mind, and I speed up. I'm doing about 45 when I hit that speed bump, and yeehaw! I did a bit of a jump and land, never once touching my brakes. Didn't even tap them. I gave him zero warning for what was about to happen. I'm watching my rearview mirror intensely during this, because I wanted to see his reaction. He was cradling his cell phone between his ear and his shoulder when he hit. His hood buckled up behind me, then slammed into the ground. I see him go flying out of his seat, straight up. He slams his head on the roof of his BMW, and his head rolls sideways from the impact. He then slams back into his seat violently. He has a total "what the heck was that" look on his face as he grabs the wheel with both hands to recover. And yes, he slowed right down after that. You know, I get that you're in a hurry some days, but it still comes down to other people's safety. You gotta be leaving enough space between you and the car in front for reasons like this. Our original poster didn't feel safe hitting the brakes going over the speed bump. Sure, there may have been a little bit of maliciousness involved here as well, but the alternative would have been to hit the brakes and let him slam into the back of you. Then both of you have damaged vehicles. Nobody wins. At least this way, the guy who deserves to get his car wrecked gets his car wrecked, and our original poster can't be blamed for the way it happened. You can submit your own stories to be featured here on the channel. The story submission link is in the description below, and if you want to listen to some vibey music in the background, check out Easy Mode, also linked below, and don't forget to subscribe. Karen keeps trying to make noise complaints about us, so we give her something to complain about. So this all happened about 15 years ago, give or take, when I was still a kid living at home. We had a house with a huge backyard in the suburbs, and the neighboring property next to our driveway was a set of three attached rental flats, each with their own front door facing our house. We were usually good friends with most of our neighbors, the flats next door included. After the family in the middle flat left, an older single woman moved in. She was home more often than not, so I doubt she had a job, and wasn't particularly friendly. She kept to herself, which is fine, and never really acknowledged any of the neighbors. Whatever, that's cool. So one Saturday around midday, I was out back with the lawnmower earning myself some pocket money. It's a big yard, so about 20 minutes in, I was about halfway done, and suddenly a noise control officer knocks on the door. He tells us to hurry it up and that they'd received a complaint. And though they thought it was ridiculous, they had to say something. Bit stupid, but whatever. Now, we weren't a loud family. No parties or screaming or anything like that at all. Over the next month, however, we kept getting visits from noise control. Always during the day, mind you. We would get visits for mowing the lawns, and even had a couple of complaints about my younger sister and I playing and hanging out in the backyard on weekends, or in the afternoon after school. Again, we weren't all that loud. At the time, I would have been about 13. So more often than not, the boy next door and I would just be chilling on the swings. Just talking. Not loud, just being outside. Now, we'd never had an issue with noise before. None of our other neighbors ever had a problem. We'd never had noise control called before now. So we asked around. It was fairly obvious at this point that the snobby cow that had moved into the flat next door was the one doing all the complaining. My father would always stock up on firewood in the summer to prepare for winter, and would have to chop it up himself. It's the first weekend of chopping for the year, and it's about 2 p.m. on a Saturday. He pulls out his old chainsaw, and it's on for about a minute and a half at most before he realizes the chain needs to be replaced. He turns it off, grabs the axe, and proceeds to chop wood the old-fashioned way. Next thing we know, noise control shows up. The officers are sick of having to visit at this point, and we're pretty friendly with Dad by now. Turns out that yes, it was the new neighbor next door. It also turned out that she'd been an issue for them for a while, and that noise control was well aware of her stupid complaints from all of her previous addresses. Unfortunately, they were legally obligated to follow through with them. Next weekend, surprise, surprise, we get another visit after Dad's been chopping more wood. With the axe. The chainsaw was still out of action. At this point, he decides, screw it. Why not give her something to actually complain about? A family friend of ours happened to be a truck driver. He'd drive a big rig up and down the country. He also happened to be back in town that weekend. We give him a ring and he's keen to help us out. Next step is to warn all the other neighbors who are fully on board. Because as it turns out, we weren't the only ones she was complaining about. Proceed to next weekend around 9 a.m., and we spend about half an hour getting this great big truck down our driveway. It was a pretty wide driveway, but it was a pretty wide truck, too. So it was a tight squeeze. Now, having been good friends with previous neighbors, we were familiar with the internal layouts of those flats. The bedrooms were directly next to their front doors, facing our driveway. We managed to get the cab of this massive truck far enough into the driveway to be directly next to this jerk's bedroom. There's about a meter and a half separating the truck and her wall. Perfect. On goes the horn. Loud as heck. It terrified our cats. On it goes again. And again. And then us kids get a turn. You could hear that thing a block away. We did it for about 10 minutes. Go inside for a coffee, come back out, and run the horn one more time for good measure before our friend takes off. This time, there were no noise control officers, no complaints, nothing. The jerk left the next week. I mean, hey, you can't argue with the results. It honestly sounds like this woman's just got issues, and it's nothing to do with you or anyone else around you. It's all something that she needs to learn how to deal with. The fact that these officers know her from multiple addresses means that they've had to deal with her for quite a while, and it must mean that she's gotta be the one with the issue here. The fact that she's had to bounce around to so many different places also indicates that she's the one that doesn't seem to be happy wherever she's at. While I'm sure she left each of those places for probably similar reasons of it just being something that she felt she couldn't tolerate anymore, I doubt in any of those instances she got blasted out by a truck horn. I replaced the jelly in my jerk coworker's donut with something less pleasant. This happened about 20 years ago when I was a teacher in a small high school. There was one teacher who was absolutely toxic and would say inappropriate things to students about the teachers he didn't like. He once told some students of mine that I didn't get invited to parties because I was a stiff. His dislike for me stemmed from the fact that I was vying for promotion to vice principal, and he felt threatened by it. He did a bunch of other things that gave me a slam dunk workplace harassment case against him, but I never pursued it. One day, he brought in donuts and left them in the staff room. However, being the guy he was, he put little toothpick flags in them with everyone's name on them but mine. He also left a note on the table saying, "Help yourself," not you, original poster. The one with his name on it was one of those powdered, jelly-filled things. In full view of some of the other teachers who were gobsmacked by his behavior, I took a straw, sucked all the jelly out of it, then refilled it with mustard. Then I put it back into the box, unwrapped my sandwich, and waited. He came into the lunchroom with a big old grin on his face as he looked at me and nodded. I munched my carrot sticks. One of the women thanked him for the donuts. He just smirked, picked up his, and took a big bite out of it right in front of me. The look of horror, confusion, and disgust on that jerk's face was priceless. This one's honestly kind of harmless. Our original poster definitely showed that they're not as much of a stiff as this jerk thought they were. I mean, they did manage to get one over on ya. A donut filled with mustard, though, sounds absolutely disgusting.
ButcherBox is 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood, all humanely raised with no antibiotics or added hormones. And all of that delivered straight to your door with free shipping, always. Imagine always having high-quality cuts in your freezer ready to go with no trips to the grocery store or planning out availability and knowing that it's food you can trust. There are curated to customized box plans at incredible value. Saving money at a grocery store is getting more and more difficult, especially when you're trying to get consistently high-quality meat. Sign up at butcherbox.com/jerk and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free-for-a-year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breast, steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/jerk and use code JERK to choose your free for a year offer. Plus, get $20 off your first order.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Strange happenings are occurring in the world of Exandria. Slayed creatures and beasts from days of yore are returning to the land of the living, and it's up to a band of unlikely heroes to re-slay them. Welcome to the Re-Slayer's Take.
Join Jasmine Bular, Jasmine Chung, Jasper Cartwright, and Caroline Lux alongside Game Masters Nick Williams and me, George Primavera, in this Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition role-playing adventure through Critical Role's fantasy world of Exandria. But don't worry, you won't need to know the rules to follow this story. All you need to know is that nothing the players do is scripted or planned, and their fates are determined by their own cleverness and the roll of a 20-sided die.
So what the heck are you waiting for? Adventure awaits in the Re-Slayer's Take.
New episodes drop weekly on Mondays wherever you stream your podcasts.
Karen decides she's the bathroom police and isn't gonna let me take the kid I'm babysitting in to go to the bathroom. This happened a while ago. I was about 18 or 19 at the time and babysat our neighbor's 3-year-old. He loved animals. It was the middle of spring, so nice and warm. I decided to ask his mother if it would be fine to take him to a petting zoo in the city. Everybody was excited, me included. So we went. We had a ton of fun. He got a large amount of animal feed so he could enjoy himself. Nothing was weird up until this point. Nobody was staring, and I felt it was pretty obvious that I wasn't in fact his mother, but rather just babysitting him. Now came the time where the little guy needed to pee. Not a problem, I thought to myself. So I took him to the bathroom. There was a large line in front of the women's bathroom, but since I had to accompany him because he was too young to use the adult toilet himself, we couldn't just go into the men's room, which was empty. I figured waiting in line for a minute or two wasn't gonna be an issue. Enter Karen. "Hi, excuse me," she said, tapping me on the shoulder. "Yes?" I thought that maybe since she had a little girl with her that she might have just wanted to ask to skip ahead in the line since her little girl needed to pee badly or something.
"Is this your child?"
"Oh, no, this is my neighbor's kid. I'm just babysitting today."
"Why the heck are you taking him to the bathroom then?"
She got very aggressive straight away. "Excuse me? He needs to use the bathroom, and is clearly too young to do so by himself." So, obviously, I'm accompanying him? What am I supposed to do? Just let him pee his pants?
This is highly inappropriate. Only his parents should accompany him to the bathroom. He's a boy, and on top of that, not even your child. God knows what you might do in there with him.
Okay, so now I was getting kinda ticked. At that point in my life, I dealt with a lot of bullcrap from people since I was a nurse, and people in the hospital tend to be as entitled as heck when they don't get their way. I was absolutely capable of defending myself with words, and I already lost my temper with her being so rude. So I said, very loudly, "You think I'd look at his privates in there? Ew! What the hell? Why do you have to make a bathroom trip with a small child sexual? Do you think about that when you take your girl to the bathroom? Oh my god! Would you do stuff to your girl? Ew! That's disgusting! Why would you even think about something sexual when taking your little boy going to the bathroom?" Now, I said all of these things kind of very sarcastically, as it was just meant to scare her off. But obviously I said it loud enough for a lot of people to hear. Now everybody looked at her disgusted, and whispered or even chimed in with me to tell her thinking stuff like that was disgusting, and that she should just leave me alone. She looked mortified at this point, and just backed away and left. Moral of the story, please let people take children to the bathroom peacefully, because I couldn't have just let that poor boy pee his pants. Yeah, I hate to say it, but I was thinking the same thing going through this story. Like, why is that even your first thought? They're clearly just looking after the kid for the day. And what else are they supposed to do? You can't send the kid in there by themselves. The kid's 3 years old. He clearly can't be in there alone. The only alternative is for the adult who's looking after them to take them in. The fact that that's where your mind goes is a lot more disturbing than what they're doing in looking after the kid that they're responsible for. Our original poster called attention to what was going on, and our Karen swayed to public opinion. It does happen once in a while. My boss ate half my lunch while I was in the bathroom. I went to the bathroom and came back to find my lunchbox open and half of my meal missing. Confused, I asked what had happened to an older lady who sits next to me. She responded that our boss came in, noticed the food on the table, took half of it on a plate, and left for a meeting. I got angry and complained about how unacceptable that was, but she told me to just shrug it off and that it's to be expected. I mean, I'm debating just taking a crap on her desk and saying I'm giving her the other half of the sandwich. I don't think you're gonna get the reaction you want doing that, but it's probably gonna feel pretty good, in more ways than one. I'd say your best bet to get her to stop taking them is to bring in a crappy lunch that you leave on your desk, and she'll see the kind of stuff that you bring in and hopefully not even bother with your stuff from now on. Either way though, it's a real jerk move coming from your boss. I impersonated my wife to sort out her banking issues. This took place about 15 years ago, and involved a large corporate banking entity. I forget the name of it, but for the sake of this story, let's call it Fells Wargo. This is potentially an example of malicious compliance, but it took some creative outside-the-box thinking prompted by their own phrasing. So I'll let you be the judge. There are some important parts that come into play. One, my spouse and I were young and dumb financially. We both had bounced a few checks on our own checking accounts. They were closed a few years prior. Number two, Fells Wargo offered a way to rehab your checking account history. They offered you the opportunity to pay them an additional $10 per month to have the right to a checking account. They restricted the release of funds and made life difficult to even have a checking account. But if you played by their rules, you could graduate to a traditional checking account after a year. Number three, I participated in the opportunity checking and graduated my account. My spouse had lived without a checking account for a few years and wanted to try again. Four, I took my spouse to Fells Wargo. We specifically explained their previous history and specifically asked for the crappy checking rebuilding account. We knew my spouse needed to start at the bottom. 5. The manager of the branch enters the basic information and declared there was no need for the rehab checking account. They qualified for the regular account. We asked again to be absolutely sure. Yes, no rehab needed. Here's some starter checks. Your ATM card will be in the mail in a week. They gladly took an initial cash deposit of $500. Fast forward a week and we get the ATM card. We call to activate it.
Your account has been closed?
Why?
We determined you have bad checking history previously.
We go round and round about how we covered this, disclosed it up front, and asked for the checking rehab account.
You'll have to go back and open that account if you want it. We can't change the account.
So they're closing the account, because we needed to have the rehab checking account. The one we specifically asked for, and they refused. My spouse didn't know what to say, so we got on speakerphone. I started asking questions.
So will you pay the outstanding checks and refund the rest? No, we won't pay any checks. You'll be charged for return checks from your merchants.
My spouse wrote three checks totaling less than $100. Very few places accepted starter checks. They have the funds in the closed account to pay for them. Where's the issue?
We don't do that.
At this point, they became flustered. Nobody seems to ever have the funds or the audacity to demand them to pay checks written in good faith. They had no answers on how they refused the checking account we requested and would have been okay to have. They didn't think they had a responsibility to notify us the account was closed. And how dare we challenge their policy? They didn't like how I kept pointing out how there wasn't a single thing we did wrong. But they think they're not responsible for return check fees. So they decided to not talk to me anymore. They hung up, we call back, repeat. They finally offered this gem.
We won't talk to anyone except the name on the account. Click.
Their only possible choice to avoid a difficult discussion where they own their mistakes was clinging to not letting someone else ask questions with the account holder's permission. They even refused to let me tell my spouse what to ask and respond to my spouse directly. You can only talk to the name on the account? Okay. So I called back. Miraculously, in 60 seconds, I now identified as a different person.
Thanks for calling, Fels Wargo. Can I have your name?
I give my spouse's name. There's a long pause.
You're not that person.
Sure I am. Ask me anything.
Name, social security number, address, mother's maiden name, date of birth.
I verified it all as the name on the account. There's a long pause.
No, you aren't them.
Why do you say that?
Because you're a man.
Wait a minute. That's why you closed my account? Because I'm a man? I'm pretty sure that's against ECOA. Maybe Regulation B. These are laws stating discrimination on gender is illegal. Banks can't reference gender or other protected classes to close accounts.
Please hold.
A manager finally comes on. We have a little back and forth about who I identify as. But seeing as how I'm not doing anything except demanding they pay checks on my spouse's account, written by my spouse, with funds in their possession, there isn't much they can fight. But they finally agree to pay the three checks from the funds in the account. They didn't want to, even in the end. But the name on the account demanded it. The fallout? They had to do the right thing after wasting hours fighting it. Comment. When my mom died and we were trying to close accounts or switch names on them, things like paying off mortgage and changing names on the utilities, things that needed to be done soonish after she passed, I was told repeatedly that they would only speak with the account holder. I understood they were just following their training, but she was dead. How are they going to get in touch with her? I told one person that they'd need a medium or a Ouija board to speak to her, and if they did make contact, to have her call me, because I wanted to speak to her too. Response. When my grandmother passed, my grandfather took her urn with him to the various banks and whatnot. He placed it on people's desks so they could speak to her directly. It made the process a whole lot quicker. This is the behavior that I just find disgusting. Like, why are they picking on you, the little guy, over $100? That they actually have access to. $100 is absolutely nothing to a bank, but it's everything to you where you're just trying to make ends meet. But they don't care. They're gonna sit there and screw you over and hang on to your money. God forbid they should have to do the right thing and actually get money from the people who have it. Sometimes banks are just crooks. When you subscribe, make sure to hit the bell to turn on notifications. Put the playlist on in the background to finish listening to all the stories. Or if you want some vibey music to put on in the background, check out Easy Mode. If you like Am I the Jerk, give Am I the Genius a shot. Everything's linked in the description.